Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David Johnson.
This is part two of Delivering Us from Evil Habits. This is a very important quote this week. I wrote it in your notes. I should have done this last week. You are not born with your habits. You're not born with your habits. You weave them and wear them. Now, this is based on the fact that, and we've already understood this, that in if you go to the word habit, we showed you a picture of a lady dressed in riding habit. Nuns wear a habit. The word habit originally meant clothing. And so when you read the King James Bible and talks about put on or take off, it's referring to clothing or habits. Okay, so you weave them and you wear them. And your habits can be the rags of self-centered addiction or the robes of Christ-centered self-control. And so what we're interested today in is on developing good habits and overcoming evil habits. Now, last week, we had some observations. I've written them out in your notes for you. We've learned that habits can be beneficial and profitable. So good habits are, and I'm going to probably end telling you why good habits are so wonderful to have. But habits can be evil and destructive as well. And so they need modification. Habits can be passed down from previous generations, not necessarily genetically, but environment. When we're raised with parents who have certain habits, generally we pick up the habits of the parents. That's why fathers become like sons and daughters become like their mothers. That's, in fact, that quote from the scripture, like mother, like daughter. The Bible does not say like father, like son. It does say like mother, like daughter. But the habits are picked up from parents who got them from their parents, and they do get passed down and need to be dealt with. Now, good habits reflect God's character. And we spent some time on that. Not going to take time to repeat today, but good habits also strengthen character. We went through the scripture that says that character, when you have character, it keeps getting stronger all the time. And so each character quality gets more intense and more effective as a good habit is developed. Then we found that good habits are a choice. You choose your habits. They are a choice. And they are learned behaviors. And this is some of what we learned already on the subject of habits. One bad habit can lead to another bad habit. They feed on one another. And by the way, that is also true that one good habit can lead to another good habit. And so there is a complexity that goes with it. Hearts are led astray by ungodly habits. When people observe our life, our habit, our converse, our ways, they're really observing our habits, and they are affected if our habits are ungodly. And then we learn that false teachers malign truth-based habits, and that's exactly what we want, is habits based on the truths of God's Word. We learn that our good habits are a witness to other people, so that's another good reason why habits are important, to have good habits, because they should see the difference between the world and us. There should be a contrast. Christians ought to be, Jesus said, they'll know that you're Christians by your love. And unfortunately today, in generality speaking, which is, we have to be careful doing that, is that we've kind of like, we're just sort of part of the American scene. There isn't much difference, when in fact the differences between them and us ought to be radical. They ought to be so obvious to us. And that's why we're interested in this development of right habits. Then the last one, we are equipped to overcome bad habits. Now, that's the good news right there. So that's where we're at today. How are you going to overcome bad habits? How to overcome bad habits? We're equipped to do so. So, but let's remember I talked about the clothing issue. Put on the new man. When you put on in the Bible, it's referring to clothing. And clothing is the word out of which habits was originated. Now, one more verse before we get started. In all things, now in every area of life, showing a pattern, developing a pattern. That is what habit is about. It's about habitual patterns, repeated, over and over again, showing thyself with habits, pattern of good works. And then it gives some of the areas. Our habits should be in doctrine, and that doctrine should be uncorruptness. We should have a pattern of gravity, a pattern of sincerity, a pattern of sound speech that cannot be condemned, so they cannot speak evil of us. So we want to build patterns. So how are we going to do that? So the subject today, how to overcome bad habits, evil habits. Now remember, we divided evil into two categories. All sin is evil, but not all evil is sin. The flood was an evil thing, but it was not a sinful thing. So there are times when evil refers to sin, and other times when it's just not beneficiary. So, okay, one more time, help the preacher. God, help the preacher. God, help the preacher. Okay, how to overcome evil habits. Number one, this is one of the toughest ones, is the need to recognize evil habits. How do you recognize something that needs to be changed? Now, it's really hard to recognize them. In fact, we spent a few moments on this last week. It's hard to recognize evil habits or bad habits, number one, because they're habits. And they're so automatic, we don't even think about them. They don't get scrutinized by us, okay? They're just kind of like automatic. So that's what makes it hard to recognize. Secondly, we can have habits that the world doesn't object to. So nobody sees the habits that we got as particularly negative because they just think we're just like everybody else. So we don't recognize them because the world accepts our bad habits just like they accept their own. And then the third reason is we may not have faithful friends. We may not have somebody to point out to us our bad habits or the habits that need to be changed. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And then it's hard to recognize bad habits because if somebody does give us a critique, we think they're being critical and we discount what they say. And we reinforce our bad habits and we don't accept because we're not very teachable. And we tend to disqualify our critics. The scripture we dealt with on this one was the one where Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 said the Pharisees, they're busy telling you what to do. These hypocrites, whatever the hypocrites tell you to do, do it. But do after what they say and not after what they do, because they say, but they do not. So we should even be able to learn from hypocrites. Nobody knows better what a Christian ought to be than a hypocrite. And so if they are critical of you, they may be doing the same thing. But that's okay. You don't worry about that. But don't reject their critique of you or their criticism of you. It's an opportunity to learn. This is astounding that Jesus taught this principle. That these Pharisees come and they're pointing out how you ought to. And Jesus comes along and says, do what they tell you to do. And so there could be very many people who we would normally disqualify as our critic and disqualify them and not listen to them. But we need to listen to them. And then we don't recognize bad habits because of a lack of humility. Are we teachable? Can we be told? Can I be told? That's the question. Can anybody say, Pastor, you know, it's about this in your life? Or do I get defensive? Do I think I'm above that kind of inspection? Or do we have the humility to be taught, to learn? Can I take a critique from my wife, check with her after church? And you say, well, it depends on how she does it. And that is what pride would say. Because you see, the Lord wants us to be able to be, you never know who's his tool to straighten, to guard, to bring awareness. Guy comes out screaming at David, cursing him. And the armor bearer says, I'm going to go kill a guy. Nah. David says, don't do it, for God hath bidden him curse me. Because in that moment, something that cursing was saying, David recognized it was true in his life and God was using the heathen. So humility is a big thing. And then we don't recognize some because they're not illegal. They're lawful. They're not sin, but they are not efficient. That's why Paul said, All things are lawful for me, but everything is not expedient. So some things just are not efficient. So that's why it's hard to recognize that. So how do we overcome them? We need to recognize evil habits. So how are you going to do this? Ready? How are you going to recognize evil habits? Number one, you recognize evil habits by self-examination. Examine yourselves. Whether you're walking in the faith or not. Look at this. Prove your own self. Now, the scriptures tell us to do this first. Remember in 12th, 13th, 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians. If you judge yourself, you will not be judged by others. The first line of examination, the first line of getting stuff straight in our lives, is something we ought to do ourselves. Examine yourself and then look for the proof that you are what you say you are. Now, this is not easy because we are all very proficient at rationalizing our behavior. We've all got excuses and reasons. Scripture says a man can render more reasons than anybody, than seven men can answer. Seven wise men can't answer because we've got all kinds of rationalizations. So self-examination is not easy, but it's necessary. And I suggest that you have regular times of self-examination, at least weekly. Daily is a good thing. And probably even better than that, to live in this condition. One of the uncomfortable and yet wonderful things that happens to me every time I sit in front of the scriptures is I'm reading the scripture and I'm going, I'm looking at myself. And that's kind of a good thing to do. So examination by yourself is really important. In fact, the Bible says that in fact, we should all examine ourselves before we have communion. We will do it here, of course. You could do it in your home. Communion, you ought to. But let a man examine himself, and then let him eat the bread and drink the cup. Don't just go presumptuous into celebrating the Lord's death and his resurrection and his coming without doing some self-examination. Now, like I said, this is the first line. To recognize habits that need to be changed, we need to do self-examination. Now, if that doesn't work, or even if it does work to some measure, we need to be examined by others. To be examined by others. Now, this is an interesting scripture. Gives us an insight, because Paul obviously was constantly having people examine his life. And he just referred my answer to them, them that do examine me, is this. And so he goes on to tell the answer. But examination by others. Now, when I got saved when I was 18 years of age. And fortunately for me, my dad was a pastor of a church, and there was a core of us teenagers who, under the auspices of a man in the church, his name was Alvin Cudmore, and his wife, Mary, Alvin and Mary. We were all new Christians. So we used to meet at least every second week together as a group with Alvin there to moderate this thing. And we used to call them a lemon party or a lemon session. And we would sit around in the circle and we would go around and we would examine everybody. And it was, you know, if I was the one, everybody does their take on what kind of life I'm living. And they speak it out. Yo, those were some testing times. But it got to be a routine for us because we decided to watch out for each other. To have a friend or a group of friends who you know care about you sufficiently to point out the bad stuff. Stuff that, if not addressed, could lead to a destruction, to a downfall. Now, we're not good at this. Now, we'd rather be the one who's criticizing other people, but not very many of us have the humility to sit with another person and say, hey, I'd like you to examine me. What do you think about my life? What do you think about how I'm treating my wife? What do you think about how I'm being a parent? What do you think about my personal habits? It's one of the greatest treasures you can have. It's good if you're going to do this in a group. And we did it. We had guidelines on, first of all, we all took turns. Everybody went around the group about David Johnson. Then we went around the group on Linda. And then we went around the group on Neil. Then we went around the group on everybody by turn. You weren't allowed to talk while someone else was. Well, you weren't allowed to defend yourself. I don't know. Looking back, it would be safe for me to say that the Lord saved me from a whole lot of bad stuff because of the friends I had. In the same way that evil friends can take you away from God, really good friends can keep you close to God. Examined by others helps find out what we need to deal with. That's why every child needs two parents. Kids, your parents ought to be one of the greatest treasures God's ever given you. By the way, if you don't have a functional parent, if you don't have two functional parents, and may not even one, what do? That's why you ought to view the most recent teachings that we did on what do you do if you don't have parents? The answer, in short, is that the church is to provide and fill in. Now, other people, other godly men are supposed to fill in for your father if he's not there. And the Bible gives 7 instructions to those other men on how to treat you differently than anybody else. You're in a special category. This is an important category today because 42% of every American child is raised without a parent, without two parents. Specific biblical guidance is given to us because God is the Father to the fatherless. He wants to see that the fathering gets done one way or another. And one of those things that need to happen is examination. So, self-examination, examination by others. For open rebuke is better than secret love. And that's the verse before this one. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I could tell you some stories of some of those lemon sessions we had. I don't know where we got the name from. Kids would break down and cry when somebody pointed out. And they'd have to admit. And somebody else said, yep, that's true. I saw it myself. You need to change this. And kids would break down, weep, repent. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because the wounds aren't to hurt you, but to help you. Too much Lone Ranger kind of Christianity going on. We need each other. And we need for this. This is one of the reasons. And then we need examination by God. And this is what we sang about this morning. Examine me, O Lord. And prove me. There is that. Not just enough to examine. What's the evidence? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, my motives. Check me out, God. And so we should have these oft moments before the Lord for examination. Look at this. This is a song we sang right out of the Bible. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way that goes towards everlasting life. Examination by. So, how do you overcome evil habits? We need to recognize the evil habits before we even get anywhere else. So, we need examination. Kind of throw this in. I throw it in because we really are good at rationalizing why we're okay when we may not be. Just a few common excuses. It makes me feel better. I deserve it. A lot of people do it. No one's perfect. I can't help it. My past caused this. Something they point in my past. I do this because, and they blame something. I've tried to quit, but I only fail, so why should I keep trying? I can control this anytime. I'll look after it tomorrow. I don't want to try to quit because I might find out I can't. So a lot of people don't try to quit something because they fear they will not be able to, and then they've got to live with this condition. So We need to recognize evil habits. Number two, you need to know up front that you can overcome. This is, of all the things I have to say about this morning, this is the big one. This is the big one. You have to know up front that you can overcome. Look at this. I can do all things through Christ. Everybody should have this verse memorized. Everybody needs to say it as often in a given day as they need to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. If you start to approach changing a bad habit with the fact that you don't think you can, you probably will have more difficulty. But if you can approach it with realizing that, and why would you want to take on anything without God? Why would you want to do that? Listen, my friends, you got God working for you. You don't have to take on bad habits alone. God is working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. It's God's alive in you. Are you connected with God? If you are, you've got resources that are so great, there isn't anything you can't conquer. I can do all things. You ought to quote this scripture. You ought to quote it over and over and over again. You need to know up front. You need to stand on the truth. This is how. You know up front. The truth is you can. The truth is God will help you. The truth is there's nothing taken you but such as is common to man, and God will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you can handle it all the time, every time. Stand on the truth. You need to know up front that you can overcome. Learn to substitute Bible thoughts for your thoughts. Get that done. Because if you rely on your old mental habits and your old mental condition, you will never beat the habit. But you need to get inside you the thoughts of the Bible. And it will always fill you with faith. It will always make you win. It will make you more than a conqueror. Substitute Bible thoughts for your own. Know up front that you can overcome. Now, the evidence that you know this is that you say this. This scripture, I can do all things through Christ, you ought to be saying it. You ought to be quoting it out loud, even if nobody else but you is listening, because you're the important set of ears. Learn to say it. You know it when you say it. If a person doesn't say it, they haven't got it yet. Because it comes from the mouth, confession is made. This is important, speaking it because you know it's true. And that's how you know up front you can overcome it. And so you need to be saying, I can overcome. I will overcome. I shall overcome. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at this. Thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. I love this little translation. I got it. Thank God. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. You need to believe this. You need to know it's true. You need to know up front that there isn't any bad habit that you can't lick, can't beat, can't conquer, can't win triumph over. And the reason is because you've got God. Don't calculate without including the God factor. God plus you can always win. We're under God. The next verse of this says, we are under God as sweet. You smell good. That's what that means. You smell good. Both to those that are saved and to those who are not saved. Look at, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Know up front that you can overcome. Look at this. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And it's according to the power that works in us. So, I mean, you can, there isn't anything you can't conquer. If you got God, you got everything you need to conquer. Nothing else needed. No up front that you can conquer. Look at this. Whereunto I labor, striving according to His working. His working, which worketh in me. Look at this. Mightily. Yo, I'm telling you what. It's not going to be difficult. You need to recognize the evil habits that need to be conquered and know up front that you can overcome them. Look at this. For now, he says, I will break his yoke from off of thee, and I will burst thy bonds in sunder. He's going to snap the chains. He's going to break the ties. Whatever's held you in bondage, he's going to break that yoke off of you. Hallelujah. You need to know up front that you can overcome. Number three, you need to cut off each and every evil influence. You're going to beat a habit, then you need to cut the cord with the sources that are empowering the evil habit, that habit. Cut off each and every influence. Let's take a look at how to do that. Everybody should memorize Psalm 1. Everybody should have that one at their tongue tip all the time. Now, walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you do, you're going to be stuck with your habits. Sit in the seat of the scornful, you're going to be stuck with your habits. Standing around with sinners who are going that way, you're going to be stuck in a habit. Cut off each and every influence. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now watch this. And have zero fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now this requires something. This requires that you learn the power of a positive no. And if you have trouble with that, you should get yourself a no button. And I brought Mrs. Johnson's no button with me. This is what it looks like. I'm going to put it up near the microphone and see if it picks up here.
No!
Did you hear that?
No, no, no! For the last time, no, 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 N-O, no!
Now, this is what the parents of our grandchildren are getting for Christmas. Bob, this is the latest gadget. I wish I could repeat that one again. Most of us aren't good at saying no. Because after we say no, but comes along after that, right? But Dad, but Mom, no. Have no fellowship. Zero. How much fellowship?
No. 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 No.
Got to get that. Because if you keep the connection between your heart, your mind, and that which is feeding it to go the wrong way, then you've got this constant energy flowing against you, and it needs to be cut off. Now, this may sound cruel, but if there are people that contribute to your bad habit, you need to disassociate. Radically. You need to be decisive about this. No. And learn to tell them. Learn to say this if you have to. If you don't want to go to heaven with me, I don't want to go to hell with you. That became a key sentence when I was 18 years old, new Christian. That's why I had this core group of about 8 or 10 of us that I told you about in the lemon class, the lemon thing. Because we disassociated ourselves with anybody nice. No, we don't disrespect them. We're not antagonistic to them. We just didn't let them in our inner group because the most devastating thing that anyone can do is to allow evil-oriented persons to have the position of influence in our lives. So, cut off every... Look at this. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. All right, number four. Deal with the devil. Some habits are the result of demonization, demonic influence. And that influence ranges from suggestion to possession. Demonic oppression, demonic repression. And if we're not careful, we open ourselves up to have demonic possession of some area of our life. We don't want that. We must learn to deal with the devil, the devils. And zero. No place for the devil. use your no button again if you need to. No place for the devil. Zero. We must learn to deal with him. Now, this is a subject that doesn't really demand a whole lot of teaching, but some. And we may get a Wednesday evening on this coming up. But what you need to know this morning about dealing with the devil is just a couple of basics. Number one, the power to deal with the devil is already yours. Okay, let's take a look at Scripture. Behold, this is Jesus, I give you power. I give you power to tread on serpents, symbol of Satan, and scorpions. Look at this. And I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do not be afraid of devils. Devils should be afraid of you. That's why God says, now here's the instruction, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee. You want to get the devil out of the picture in your life. You want to get the devil out of the place of influence in your life. In fact, let's back up to this other verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, here's what you do. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, we will spend some time on this, but it is enough to know that you have the authority to deal with the devil, and if you submit to God and you resist him, he will flee. And what that means, one of Tozer's shocking books is this one. It's the title of Tozer's book. Now, he's a conservative preacher, not known as a Pentecostalist, certainly not a charismatic, was he ever known as. This is one of his titles of one of his books. I talk back to the devil. Now, you ought to talk to the devil because that's the only way he's going to hear you. The devil does not know your thoughts. Did you know that? The devil does not know your thoughts. He doesn't know what's in your heart. Listen to the Scripture. Thou only knowest the hearts of men, O God. He doesn't know what's in your heart. He might guess at it from your behavior, but he does not know what's in your mind. You talk to the devil. You command Satan. You rebuke the devil. You send him fleeing. You submit to God and you resist him. And you resist him steadfastly in the faith. And you speak your faith and you tell that devil where to go. If you do not, it's going to be hard and difficult to conquer some habits. Because some habits have evil spirits attached to them. All right? So deal with the devil. Now, this is the crux of breaking old habits. This is a principle. The truth of it is, you don't so much have to break the old habit as you do need to establish the new one. If you establish the new habit, the old habit will be gone. That's why God doesn't want you to focus on the old habit. You keep thinking about the habit. You keep thinking about the habit. And as you, the more you think about it, the more in its grip you get. So what we learn from Scripture is to overcome the old by establishing new. Break off thy sins by doing what's right. So if it's a sinful habit, start doing what's right, and it will flee. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with the good. So the way to break an old habit or a bad habit or an evil habit or even a sinful habit is to start doing right. And the old habit will be broken by the present. So it's kind of like a replacement theology kind of a deal. One more scripture. Sow to yourselves in what's right. Because if you sow into your mind, into your heart, what's right, that's what you're going to reap. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Sow to yourself in righteousness. You overcome the old habit by the new. Now, in conclusion, habits are routines of behavior that are repeated regularly and tend to occur automatically or subconsciously. That's what they are. They make us who we are. But I wanted to mention three or four benefits. There are so many benefits of developing good habits. And here's the first one, is that when we develop good habits, we are obeying the Lord. And with obedience comes a whole lot of wonderful things. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Put it on. We are obeying the Lord. And the benefits of knowing that you're obeying the Lord are multitudinous. Secondly, and this is the big one for me, following the Lord becomes easy. It is not hard to live the Christian life. That is one of Satan's best known lies. It is not hard. Now, it's hard to follow the Lord if you hold on to the old habits. But when you get the new habits, following the Lord is easy. Because a habit is an automatic behavior. Automaticity is what we're after. We want a habit, a routine. We always respond. Somebody does evil to us, we respond with good. All the time, every time. Somebody does bad, we forgive them. And so we need to develop these habits. And this makes it easy to live the Christian life. Now, this time zone between recognizing a habit that needs to be dealt with and getting it where the new habit is automatic, that time will require discipline, exertion, conscious effort, feeding Scripture, thinking the right way. But once the habit's there, nothing to it anymore. It's like easy because it's automatic. So the Christian life is really a collection of good habits. And once we have them, look at the Scripture. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And look at this. You know, we find rest to your soul, but look at this. It's easy. The burden you carry is really light. I sense that too many people are having a hard time living the Christ life when it ought not to be that way. It ought to be as easy to do good as it used to be easy to do wrong, because now you've got new habits. And what else have you got? Wow. You got the blood of Jesus. You got the blessed Holy Spirit. You got the Word of God. Uh-huh. This is easy. And I reject the notion that says that being a Christian is a tough job. But the Scripture says it's the way of the transgressor that is hard. It's hard. My way is easy. My burden is light. Developing godly habits is what makes it easy. Automatic behaviors based on the Word of God, based on what we've learned from the character of Jesus. We just do it. It makes following the Lord really easy. If you're having a hard time following the Lord, this would be the right time and moment to ask yourself, what are the habits that are keeping me from following the Lord with ease? Replace them. Replace the old habit with the good one. And I tell you, it'll be easy. Good habits establish your character. If you get the routine of being honest, you become honest. You routinize forgiveness. You become a forgiver. We really are whatever our habits are. That's what we really are. Now, this is really good news, because none of us are what we used to be. The old things should have passed away and the old things should have become new. That old passing and the new becoming is a switch from old habits to new habits. Old ways of thinking to new ways of thinking. Old ways of treating people to new ways of treating people. To change in habit. It's why some people go in shock when they read scriptures like if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. It doesn't equate, because their habit is not to deal with their enemies like that. When Jesus comes along and says, bless them that curse you. This is not the habit. Somebody speaks unkind or against us and they demonstrate some animosity. The old habit is to treat them back the same way. And this is what true conversion is all about. We switch from that world's way of doing everything to Christ's way of doing everything. Instead of a natural mind, we have a supernatural mind. Instead of a worldly mind, we have a biblical mind. Instead of being run by emotions, we are run by wisdom, because we've got new habits. And that's what makes our character. And then lastly, There's a multitude of benefits, too numerous to start listing here. It's summed up by this scripture. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Then the scripture indicates not only in this life, but in the next one to come. Most people think it's going to be profitable in the next life, but they don't see the profit in this life. But I declare to you, beloved, that as we develop godly habits and replace the evil habits, this godly condition is going to produce profit. It's going to produce profit on the job. It's going to produce financial profit. It's going to produce profit in a marriage. It's going to produce profit in family. It's going to produce profit in every relationship you can imagine. Because godliness is really smart. Because it's really the fruit of all the wisdom of God given to you. And now you live in it. And you reap all the benefits of it. Hallelujah. So my prayer is that we will busy ourselves in changing our habits. Can you recognize habits that need to be changed? Your husband will help you. Your wife will help you. Your parents will help you. You need some friends who will help you. Listen to God. Because it starts when we recognize the changes that we need. May the Lord bless this teaching to you. And let us be what He says we are. To be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.